Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung at Master Control in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Right after this program is over, we head for Cornerstone Baptist Church. It's in Cumberland, Maryland. David Hattonville is going to be the host pastor. We're going to have a great time. We've been there a number of times with these dear people. They love to study the prophetic word of God. You can come and join us as well. That is the Cornerstone Baptist Church, Cumberland, Maryland. I want to remind you that you can go to our website, prophecytoday.com. I've already given you the poll question for this week, but go there. It's on the left-hand side. You can scroll down, answer that poll question. On the right-hand side, you can see a little icon for PASS, Prophetic Army of Senior Saints. We're trying to raise up an army of senior saints who can make certain the next generation, after we have passed from this scene, the next generation will understand truly what biblical prophecy is all about. At our recent conference in Chattanooga, we had the opportunity of introducing two of our graduates from the PASS study time, preparing to do exactly what we want them to do, teach people about Bible prophecy, those who will go into the next generation. On the website, you'll also see we've started a homeschool program. If you have a homeschooler, you know somebody that does, tell them about our homeschool program. Send them to our website and they can find out more about it. And of course, stop by our prophecy bookstore. As you are on the website, all the items that we talk about, all the different materials that'll help you understand Bible prophecy, to study your prophetic word of God, you'll have an opportunity to get a hold of some of these items that you may need. Right now here on Prophecy Today, from our studios, we take you to the site of the School of Prophets Conference, which was held at Stuart Heights Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, this last week. Do me a favor. Will you walk over here? We're doing this for radio, so walk over here and just stand on this microphone. And don't be upset, because you're going to be heard all across America, around the world, on the internet.
The first question is, do you think that the blood moon tetrad and the triple solar eclipses of 2014 and 15, do you think they relate to prophecies specifically to Joel 2:31?
No, I do not believe that they are going to be affected by Joel 2:31. Because Joel chapter 2 and verse 31 is dealing with the tribulation period in the time of the day of the Lord. Now, if indeed the tribulation has begun after the rapture of the church, that may well be the case. But I've gone to the NASA website and I've seen that there have been blood moons throughout history. A blood moon, except for the fact that when it's referred to in Joel and also in Matthew chapter 24, where it talks about that in that day when Christ will come back, the moon will turn to blood. And also Revelation chapter 6, where it talks about that as the sixth sealed judgment. That's talking about the tribulation period. I believe that there are those who have taken the idea of a blood moon and put it together with 14 and 15, 2014 and 15, have just tried to bring something up, be sensational. I don't try to be sensational. In fact, I try to stay away from sensationalism as it relates to teaching Bible prophecy. I simply teach what the Word of God says, and the Word of God to me is so sensational, I don't need to be involved in trying to bring other things up. But I do not believe that the attention given to the blood moons has anything to do with the fact of what's going to happen in the future.
Even though all four are on Jewish feast days?
It doesn't matter to me, because that has nothing to do in the Jewish feast. As you study the Jewish feast days, there's nothing that talks about a blood moon. Thank you. You're certainly welcome. Another question for us here on Prophecy Q&A.
Hi. I have two questions as well. The first is, do you believe that America is mentioned in the Bible in the last days? And if so, where and what does the Bible teach?
Well, that's the most asked question in Bible prophecy. Where's the United States in Bible prophecy? And I was in a conference not long ago, and a young man in the back stood up and said, "Hey, I know the answer." I normally do not condescend to anybody in the audience, but for some foolish reason, I did that day. And I said, "Well, where's the United States in Bible prophecy?" He said, "It's simple. Jerusalem." I said, "Sir," he said, "I know the question. The answer is Jerusalem." I said, "How do you get that?" He said, "Well, it's very simple. Jerusalem. And I laughed just like the audience is laughing right now. But in essence, that is basically the answer. If there's any place in the Bible
that it may make a reference to the United States, it'd have to be the book of Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2, where it says, all the nations of the world will gather at Jerusalem. I believe after the rapture of the church, the backbone of the United States of America is going to be gone. And any nation that kills babies and lets sodomites play in the street, God's going to have to judge them. And so I believe America, who's on the slippery slopes of moral decay, educational decay, military decay, economic decay, I believe they'll fade into the woodwork, be a nebulous entity, and I do not see the United States. It's no place in the scriptures, and I do not see them in the future.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask you a question. There's a book out that's by a prophecy, quote-unquote, scholar, Psalm 83 Wars. It's stuff in there I just never heard of, and I just wanted to, you know, see if you had read that book. And
well, I've not read the book. I spent time with Bill. I had a meal with him in Dallas, Texas, a couple of years ago. I disagree with Bill. He says Psalm 83, which was one of three passages of Scripture that deal with the Battle of Gog and Magog, referred to there in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38. And Bill thinks that this war in Psalm 83 will take place before the Ezekiel 38 war takes place. I disagree. I think Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 to 43, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, and Psalm 83 are all the same. As you look at the litany of nations that are listed who will join in this coalition, this alignment of nations, to go against the Jewish people and try to wipe them off the face of the earth. In fact, it says in Psalm 83, verse 4, they have a council meeting. And out of the council meeting, they come forth and they say, let us destroy Israel, wipe them off the face of the earth, that their name be not remembered ever again. That has been the radical rhetoric of the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad. And at least the psalmist who was praying that this was not going to take place, that's the whole purpose of Psalm 83. It's a prayer by the psalmist that the Lord would pay attention and not allow these nations to attack. He was able to tell what was going to happen. And whether Ahmadinejad read Psalm 83 or not, I don't know, but he's quoting that scripture basically of what was written down there. But when you look at the nations over in Daniel chapter 11, you see Syria and Egypt, the first two nations that will make a move against Israel. Of course, Syria on the radar screen right now, as I'm standing here answering your question. The Israeli Defense Force is on high alert in its northeastern border with Syria, and the Syrian opposition plus the Syrian military of Bashar Assad are on the opposite side of the border getting ready to attack and come into the Golan Heights. President Bashar Assad of Syria has asked Hezbollah, the notorious terrorist organization in southern Lebanon, to come across and go over into the Golan Heights and use that as a military base to wipe out Israel. And so Syria is the first nation to make a move. They're referred to as the King of the North there. The King of the South is Egypt. And then it talks about Libya and Ethiopia, and then out of the north and out of the east. When you put that together with Ezekiel 38, we see some of the other nations. And those nations that are not mentioned in those Daniel 11 and Ezekiel 38 passages would be mentioned. Over there in verse 6 of Psalm 83, it talks about the Ishmaelites, so that would be Saudi Arabia today. And then the next verse, it talks about Tyre and Sidon, that would be modern day Lebanon. That makes up the complete list of nations who are going to come against the Jewish state of Israel. So I say Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, and the book of Daniel, chapter 11, 40 to 43, are all the same battle.
Where do you place Ezekiel 38 and 39?
In the first 6 months of the tribulation period. Ezekiel 38, verse 8 says, when the Jewish people are dwelling safely in the land. And verse 11 says, they'll be dwelling safely in the land, and they've laid down their walls to their city. They're living in unwalled villages. Now, that's a military terminology. Ezekiel wrote the book 2,500 years ago. And when he wrote the book, there were no F-16s, no Mark V tanks, the most sophisticated tank in the world. There were no Apache helicopters. The way the Jewish people protected themselves was with a wall around the city. And that means then when they've laid down their walls, their military defense, they have done this for a reason. The Bible talks about in Daniel 9:27 that the Antichrist will confirm a peace agreement. And so the Antichrist, to the Jewish people, because they believe the lie of Satan, because they're not saved, they will accept him as their Messiah who brings peace. They've been praying for peace, Psalm 122, verse 6, and now they see it happening. They believe the Messiah is here. They believe they don't need to use their military might. They lay down their weapons, and in rushes this alignment of nations to try to wipe them out. Then at that time, Jesus intercedes.
Thank you, sir.
One last question. The Bible talks about the great apostasy in the last days, and there are some that are teaching that this is authentic Christians who have walked away from their faith and lose their salvation. Was wondering if you could explain that apostasy, what it will look like.
Where are you talking about in the scriptures, the great apostasy?
I don't know. I don't know.
When you're going to ask me
the
a
address.
Question, you need to know what the Bible says.
I don't know the address.
Let me give you the address.
Okay.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3.
Thank you. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3.
But I am teaching even as I respond to your question. By the way, you look so good in red. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Your face is red, I'm talking about. The reason I'm doing this to you, and I'm not trying to hurt you, honey, but I think it's important. If you're going to ask a question, you know, so many people come to me and say, well, someplace in the Bible it says this. And about 90% of the time, that's no place in the Bible. So I always tell them, well, show me the place in the Bible, read it to me, and I'll respond to your question. But I'm going to respond to her question. I just gave her the address. It's not possible to lose your salvation. John chapter 17, when Jesus Christ is going from the upper room over to Gethsemane, he said, Lord, you've given me these people. Don't take them away. Don't let them get out of my hand. And so as a Christian, I'm in the hand of Jesus Christ, and God the Father's hand has got Jesus' hand. I got to pry open God the Father's hand and then Jesus' hand before I could ever lose my salvation. I'm not going to speak on the issue, but you're not going to be able to lose your salvation. The text tells us in 1 John, they go away from us because they did not know us. People can profess to be Christians. That'll happen in the millennial kingdom. Profess to believe in what Jesus Christ told them to do and not be possessors. Professors are easy to come by. Possessors are more difficult. I think the passage there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 has misled many people because the word apostasia in that passage has been translated, especially in the King James English Bible, to mean that there must be a falling away first before the man of sin appears. And so they're saying apostasy has to be rampant in the world. And I would agree, apostasy is rampant in our world today. But you know what? In Paul's day, apostasy was rampant. He took two young men, Timothy and Titus. He trained them, and then he sent them out to the churches he had established for doing what? Making sure the leadership was right, number one, and making sure they were guarding and defending the word of God. That's what a church's ministry is. But that word apostasia, located there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, should not be translated apostasy. It should be translated to mean we have departed from one place and gone to another. For example, after this conference is over, I'm going to depart from this place. I'm going to go to Cumberland, Maryland, where I have my meeting this next Sunday. So I'm departing from one place, going to another. Now, if you put that in the context, there's not going to be an appearance of the Antichrist, the wicked one, the son of perdition, the man of sin, all referring to the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's not going to be his appearance until after we have departed from this place and gone to the other. That's the rapture of the church. That's what the passage means right there. Well, that's about all the time we have for Prophecy Q&A today. So great to have you along with us, those listening in on the radio. We appreciate so very much all the questions we receive through email, through internet, through any way we could possibly receive them, Facebook and Twitter and all the others. We're so thrilled to be able to respond to your question. And we had a great time with our students here at the School of Prophets Conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee, with Q&A, Prophecy Q&A as well. We're going to take a break right here on Prophecy Today. And when we come back, I'm going to take a look at the book. I'm going to talk about why we should study Bible prophecy. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.